gone. So we're still on spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle actually is already won, but we need to, press in and take possession of the land. Right? The Lord's dealt with it. The Lord's fully established. We were singing. Can you put that computer up again? There's something on the... That, oh, thou art great, It don't matter, just put any of them on. And we were singing there, how great thou art.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Are you sure about this?
Definitely.
This, if we're saying that, how great thou art, we've got to begin then not just to sing it, but we've got to believe it. And we've got to act upon it. We've got to trust him in this. And believe that God is the God that has the victory, that God has a plan and purpose for you. For each and every one of us, right? God is not defeated.
No.
Never.
Right? Jesus died, but he rose.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Victorious.
Yeah.
He didn't just rise, and get up and say, oh, that were a bit of a do, weren't it? He rose victorious.
Amen.
And these are the things that we have to realize. We sing these songs, and I hate to say it, but these songs are not sung enough. Because we're singing, historically, what started happening is in the church, we're singing soft songs.
Yeah.
Are you happy with that? Because if you're not, well, I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel about it. Because they're not based on this book.
No.
Right? A lot of it is based out of emotion.
Yeah.
Right? And I tell you what, when it's raining, my emotions are different to when it's nice and sunny. I don't know about anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And you have to, and if you're in pain, your emotions can take over, can't they? And you don't feel too good. Right? You can get depressed. That's an emotion.
Yeah.
God is above all of that. And these songs that we've been singing are written based on the Word of God. And I tell you what, you don't go on what you feel. You go on what is written in this book. Right? And if you don't know what's in it, then you better start to read it. Because that is what gives us victory. Without us reading it, without us spending time in it, we don't get the victory. Because the victory, the truth and the secrets to the victory, not that it's a secret in one sense, but it is. It's a mystery that man doesn't understand. It's foolishness. Preaching this word is foolishness to men. To the educated. A lot of people think you and I are daft. You and I, they think you and I need a crutch to get through life.
No way. Need God.
Don't need a crutch. I've got a Savior.
Amen.
I've got a Redeemer.
Amen.
I've got a Healer.
Amen.
I've got a Deliverer.
Amen.
He's not a crutch.
No.
He's a power source.
Yes.
But he's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we need to remember. We need to catch hold of this. This is who Jesus is. The world today has crutches. They have money.
Mm.
Nice house. A good job. All these are crutches. Mm. You can lose them like that.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you what, God is going nowhere.
Yeah.
God is going nowhere. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Hallelujah. Praises. I forgot what I was looking for actually, but I just want to stir you with, the words that we've been singing are the words that are absolutely truths to us and that will stir. Have you been stirred already before?
Yeah.
Yeah? Because these words are truth. And these words are that which stirs us up. And we're to trust him. Are you trusting Jesus all along the way?
Yeah.
Does he grow more precious to your life each day? This is what it's about. Trusting Jesus, trusting Jesus, trusting God. As God said, he will take you through everything. As God said, he never leave you and never forsake you. Yes. So start to trust Him. It might look difficult outside. It might be on the news and the media that there's, it's all good. They're queuing for petrol and diesel, aren't they? You know, the pumps are running out. Glory to God. The supermarket shelves are empty. Oh, what are we going to do? Hallelujah. The heaven's bounty is full. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how we'll do it. I don't know how we can do it. I'll tell you a little story. Just reminded me of that one. I was with a pastor many years ago in his car, and he used to run his car on fumes. Honestly, you know what I mean? He'd go to the petrol station and he'd just put a few squirts in, you know what I mean? It was like just odd few gallon, and he'd always be running it light. And I was with him coming back to the church that he was at, and my car was there. And I had to go and pick Grace up from work, and we were running a little bit late. And we started to come up this hill, and I felt the car do this. And I'm like, no. And I looked across at his fuel gauge. It was past empty, you know. And I looked at him. I said, have you not put petrol in it again? No, I think I'm running out. Well, I hate to say, but me and him that day, I'd had a little bit of a tart to tart, you know what I mean? Just a little. And my button was pushed already. And I just came down with my hand on the dashboard of the car. I said, in the name of Jesus, bang, go, I said. And this car went, and it took off. And it must have gone another couple of miles. Went up this hill, over the top, down the other side. We arrived at the church. I got out and I just slammed the door to him and got in my car. I didn't care whether he got home or not, as long as I got to my car. And I'm telling you, it happened. I mean, his face was like, he couldn't believe it. Take authority. You know, don't ask me how it's done. But it's done. Exactly. Thank you, Shirley. That's it, you see. It's not a case, well, how did God do that? I have no idea, because I'm not God. But God said, trust me.
Yes.
And I will do it.
Yeah.
How did He feed all those people in the wilderness? I have no idea. I know it says manna came down from heaven, but hey, how did He do that? How did out of that rock, every day, water flowed and watered the flocks and the people? Every day. They carried that rock with them. You see, this rock, when they were told to move, they picked the rock up. And they carried it. And then they put it down and spoke to the rock and water came out.
Oh, man.
They didn't go digging wells.
No.
Ooh, you haven't thought of that one, have you? Huh? That's what happened. They followed a cloud by day, fire by night. All miraculous things. We serve a miraculous, wonder-working God. And it says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, whatever crisis is going on in our country today, we have to trust God to provide. You see, I believe that we need to whatever's going to happen in the future, we need to be spiritually prepared now for whatever is coming. Right? If we're going to have a wilderness experience, then let's just be prepared because God can provide. I remember a story, and I know I've told it to some of you before. There was a family. You remember Joe Anderson and Olive?
Yeah.
Well, they invite. This is going back many years, and the minister had been ministering at the church. She's okay. The minister had been ministering at the church, and they'd invited this minister back for supper or something. Well, Joe had. They didn't ask Olive, and Olive says, we haven't got enough bread for sandwiches, you know. So she went in the kitchen and she said, Lord, I believe You're a God of miracles.
Amen.
She says, Lord, I believe that you can provide. And she started cutting this loaf of bread. And she kept cutting, and she kept cutting, and she kept cutting, and she kept cutting, and she made all the sandwiches, and she'd still got that same loaf of bread left. Now, not many people, Olive didn't tell that story very often.
No.
But that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw it. She watched God before her very eyes provide for her mm-hmm. in that time of need. Because they had very little at that time. But God provided. When we went to Israel, we had no money in the end. And we had 10 days to go. Our shekels had gone. There was nothing left. And we had 10 days to find somewhere to stay. And we had no money. Because in them days, I didn't have a credit card. I didn't know what a credit card was. You know? And we'd run out of shekels. And it was a case of what we're going to do. And we prayed about this. And Grace was not well at the time. We prayed about it. With a few shekels left, and we went out to buy some food. And I said to this, I asked this young man what the food was like, because we'd been in Egypt a few days earlier, and it just was, we were both, you know, we got the Egyptian tummy, to say the least. And this young man says to us, oh, it's all kosher, etc. He was a Jewish guy. And as he was walking away, I distinctly heard the Lord say to me, ask him about accommodation. I had spent 3/4 hour ringing round every hotel that I could find in Jerusalem. And it was Feast of Tabernacles. And everybody had joined in and come there. And the place was full to bursting. And Mary and Joseph had nowhere to stay. And so I said to this young man, I heard the voice of the Lord say, ask him about accommodation. So I asked him if he knew of a small hotel anywhere that we could go and stay. And he said to me, you've no chance. It's full. There's no spaces. But he said, all my flatmates are away. He said, here's the spare key. Here's the address. You catch the number, whatever bus from across the street here, and I'll see you on Thursday. And he disappeared in the crowd. Where'd he go? So we'd met some Christians from Southampton that we'd just connected with, and they came to pick us up from the hotel that next morning, and we told them about this. One of the guys was an ex-SAS man. He said, oh, I don't like this. He said, we've heard stories about this. He says, when you go, I'm taking you. So I said, no, be fine. No, he says, I'm taking you. So that day, Thursday, off we went. We arrived at this house, looked at the number, knocked on the door. The door opened, and there was Joel. That's the young man who'd given me his keys. He invited us in. He said, the refrigerator's there, the bedroom's there, put your things in there. And off we went for the rest of the day with these folk. And we came back, and for 10 days we stayed at this place. We were fed. We had 2 or 3 visitors come. A month or two later, some friends were going out to Israel, the people that we'd actually met from Southampton. They were going back out. We said to them, will you take some money for Joel as a thank you for what he did for us? We still had his address. We had his phone number. They went. Now, bear in mind, he'd taken us to that house. That family had picked us up every day and taken us travelling around Israel. So he knew where it was. Or certainly got a good idea. They went to that address, knocked at the door, and said, is Joel in? And they said, there's nobody here called Joel. And there's never been anybody here called Joel. But our friends stayed it. No. To this day, we don't know who Joel was. Now, you know it says, we entertain angels. Do angels entertain us? in a crisis situation. Did not Gideon have a visit from an angel? I just lay that one for you to think about. But I tell you what, you know, it was, we had two or three people can't come in. Who were these people? Strange. But God provided for us.
Yeah.
And we're here because of that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. So whatever happens, you know, we need to trust God. We need to believe God for the blessings that He brings to us. We need to believe God that His plans are already made for us.
Yeah.
And that as we come under the covering of those everlasting arms,
amen,
there's provision there for us. Hallelujah. He never fails us. Never fails us. And God is going to take you and I through whatever comes upon us. Because He's a promise on us. You see, each and every one of you has a purpose and has a ministry to fulfill. And this is why we as a church often quote and stand on Ephesians 4:12. The fivefold ministry in the church is there to equip the saints for their work in the ministry. A lot of churches have got it reversed around, that you guys are sat there and that you're going to just equip me and Daniel to do the work. No. Forget it. You got it the wrong way around. The fivefold ministry is there for the equipping of the saints. That's why we're doing Bible school. Equipping the saints for ministry. What can I do? You can do whatever the Lord God Almighty does through you.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's God working through you.
Yeah.
It's not you doing it on your own.
No.
And that's the great thing. Yeah. It's about God in you.
Yeah.
Working with you and through you. His Spirit flowing through you.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. I forgot what verse I was looking for anyway. But I think I got my point over. Trust Him. Draw close to Him.
Yeah.
In getting close to Him, He will be there to cover you, to protect you, to care for you.
Mm.
And believe that God will do a mighty work in your life. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy might come against us, and you know, we've quoted that scripture, though the enemy comes against us, but like a flood,
hallelujah,
the Spirit of the Lord lifts up that standard against him, and he'll push back.
Yeah.
Church, we're on pushback.
Amen.
We're on pushback.
Amen.
You know, I'm not hiding in a bunker.
No.
I'm on pushback.
Amen.
You know. The devil might seem to have got us, you know, backed up against the coast. If you know, when the forces on D-Day, etc., you know, we might feel as if we're backed up against the coast and there's nowhere to go. Well, I'll tell you what, there is. Let's march forward.
Amen.
And let's take possession of the land.
Amen.
What rightly belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Lord is coming and there's going to be a great and mighty harvest. We know it's the Lord told us in the parable of the wheat and tares that light and darkness would grow together. That's all right. But he said he's going to take out the darkness.
Yes.
He's going to take out the tares.
Yes.
He's going to take out the wicked first.
Yes.
And then there's the harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
Yeah.
We're the harvest. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Wonderful Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 10. Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you there yet? Praise God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
Yeah.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, in high places. It's not, they're not in heaven. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. Three times it says that.
Stand firm.
Stand firm.
Yeah.
Stand firm.
Yes.
Stand firm. Yes. Get your feet planted upon the rock.
Oh,
what is the rock? Jesus. What is Jesus? The Word of God.
Yeah.
That's where we stand. We stand firm on the Word of God. And so therefore, in verse 14, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which will enable you to extinguish. Hallelujah. It will enable you to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Come on, church. Come on, church. Extinguish the flaming missiles, all the flaming missiles, not some of them, all the flaming missiles, it says, of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all persistence and perseverance and petitions for all the saints. In other words, pray for one another. Hallelujah. You know, the victory is in the togetherness. That's what it's about. It's the victory is in our togetherness, not our oneness. Yes, we're individuals. Yes, we're all individual characters, different personalities, because they need to be like that, because each of us have different strengths and different colours and motivations, and when we are bound together, you know, it talks about the three cords bound together, stronger than one. If you don't, if you bind them in a certain way, the strength multiplies. If you just put them together and just, you know, but it says bind, be bound together. And when we're bound together, it's stronger. It is stronger.
Hallelujah.
So, it's not just being an individual, but it's being an individual bound into the body of Christ. Ready for the work of the kingdom of God. And you know, it's been great to see these last few weeks in particular. You know, the work of the Lord physically that we've had to do in the building and that, moving forward. And you know, some of us have been doing it a little longer than others, and we were getting to that point of like, whew, you know, this is beginning to, but we, you know, we've had that little bit of extra, and it's like, we're moving again, you know, the winds are blowing, the waves may be thrashing against us, but you know, the Spirit is breathing upon us, and we're moving forward in the Spirit of God as well. Hallelujah. And so we just praise God together. So we're battling against principalities and powers. This is what Paul is saying. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not about your neighbour. It's not about the government. It's not about situations and circumstances that seem to be caused by individuals. It's not a man thing. It is spiritual things that we are dealing with. And you know, we need to pray. Prayer that you need to start praying. Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Right? Open my spiritual eyes. You see? Now you might say, can you pray that? Well, go to the Old Testament. Elisha says, Lord, open my servant's spiritual eyes, that he might see those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. Right? So, come on. It's spiritual eyes that we need to be opened, you see. We look, you know, the media is all, it's through the eye gate, isn't it? Most of the time it's eye gate. Isn't it? All the time. Boom, boom. And we sort of bombarded through the eye gate all the time. Well, we need, Lord, just open our spiritual eyes to see beyond that. To see through that. To find what God is doing behind the scenes, shall we say, that men don't see. You know, men, governments think we're in charge.
No way. Joke.
We're going to sort the climate out, you know. You're all going to go electric. How's it going to work in India, in Africa, in them villages, going electric? It's going to happen, is it? They're going to die of starvation. That's what's going to happen to them. If they can't have coal, fossil fuels, they're going to die. They're going to suffer. Does anybody, you know, they're not thinking. Well, they are. They're just thinking of what catches the attention of the media. You know, we need to see beyond all of this and see, hey, God's doing great things. You know, I believe the Lord has placed enough provision on the earth until the appointed time of that day when the Lord returns. Are you telling me he got it when it said God weighed the earth, and when he weighed it, he got it wrong?
No way.
Huh? You telling me he made a mistake?
No.
And he got it wrong, and he didn't have enough provision, and he's not provided enough for the earth, and therefore everyone's going to suffer?
No way.
No. God has weighed it. It's all there. It's just the greed of man that wants to hang it to themselves. You know. Anyway, we'll go back to spiritual. Better go back to this, haven't we? Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. I just love the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That word finally means be empowered. Is that what it says in your Bible? Yeah. Are you preaching? Are you reading my notes? It means be empowered. Verse 10. Finally. Come on, it's saying, Paul is saying, finally, be empowered, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. God is empowering you. You see, God today wants to empower the true church.
Yes.
Right? He wants to empower his disciples. Amen. He said to his disciples, wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you are filled, endued, filled with power. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
You know, so often we get preached in church, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And we leave it at speaking in tongues. But it's not. You need to be filled with the Spirit, which is power. And the sign of that is speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Right? It's not the reverse.
No.
That is an outflowing from the power that should be being poured into us by his Spirit. That can be a bit radical, man. Glory to God. Praise his wonderful name. So we need to be strong in the Lord. Finally, brethren, it means be this thing of, you know, but you need to be empowered. We're not hiding somewhere. You know, Gideon was caught hiding. didn't he? He was caught hiding. He was thrashing wheat in the wine press because nobody's going to find him there. It's not the season of grapes, so nobody's going to look in that place. It's safe, it's secure. Nobody's going to look for anybody beating out wheat. It's the wrong place, it's the wrong time. And suddenly the angel of the Lord says, and turns up and says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And he's like, you know, I mean, the guy's hiding. You know, I mean, Gideon must have leapt out of his skin at that point in time when this angel appeared and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." You know, I mean, whoa, where did you come from? How did you get in here? You know, I mean, I bet he was fit to be tied, Gideon. He'd have been backed in a corner and like, whoa, where did you come from? I mean, I don't think at that point in time Gideon knew it was an angel.
No.
He didn't come down with wings and, you know. He came as a man to speak to him. And Gideon's like, whoa. You know, you could have given me an heart attack here. Could have died. You know. Keep your voice down. The enemy's all around us. Keep your voice down. Do you think God's going to keep his voice down?
He's not. He'll shout it from the roof.
He's risen.
Yeah.
He's risen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's risen. Praise his wonderful name. You know, verse 12 says, we wrestle not against, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not the world's forces. It's principalities and powers behind them that drive them. You know, these men that think they're making decisions, but they're not. It's what is behind them, and they don't know what is behind them. I mean, I have been in situations and circumstances where I have seen people, and I hate to say it, I've been in church situations where there has been a spirit in a church that would land on an individual. And he would be she would be the trouble causer.
Yeah.
In the church. I'm not saying it's your brother. I've seen it, particularly in church leadership.
Right.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
And then when I remember one time, I was asked to go on a church leadership, and I told God, I said, while ever that person who causes all this trouble is on leadership, I'm not going on. I thought, I don't have to go on because that guy will not retire. I don't care how old he is, he ain't going to retire. They'll bury him, they'll carry him out, right? So I knew we're on a winner. Next Sunday, the pastor reads out a letter. This person is retiring from the church leadership. Well, I went on and I had a tizzy fit with God. Am I? What? Because God said, well, you now got to go on, haven't you? I'm like, you did that on a purpose. You know, why? Because I didn't want to go on, I'll be honest with you. But I was using this person as a certain excuse because I knew what it was like. I'd been there for a long time. And he resigned. Oh my. God, this ain't fair, is it? You know, I mean, come on. So I went on that church leadership for some time. You know, that spirit that was on the other person, it went on to somebody else in the leadership.
Yeah.
He knows about it. And me and Jezebel, we fight like crazy. You know, I've had a few tussles with Jezebel. You know, Jezebel looks into woman, by the way, right? It's just a controlling spirit. It can be on a man or on a woman. So Jezebel, I've had a few tussles with Jezebel over the years. There's a spirit of Ahab as well.
Yeah.
We'll get to that another time, you know. Oh, we've so much to learn, but what a great time we're going to have learning. Glory to God. And you know, when I eventually left, because the Lord called me out, this my friend here was there at that time. He was also on the leadership. And I used to walk into our leaders' meeting and I could walk through the doorway. And I would know immediately. Nobody said anything, but I would know immediately, tonight we're going to be fighting. We're going to be arguing. And it would go on well 1 o'clock in the morning, let me tell you. We don't have leadership meetings like that, by the way, in this church. It's all about unity. You know? We stand together, we support and encourage, and we'll get to that in this as well. And I remember the very last meeting, I had resigned, I was leaving, and I thought, I don't need to go to this meeting, do I? I thought, no, I'm going to go. I'm still a member until whatever day it was. So I went. And I saw something amazing happen. That spirit, that Jezebel spirit, ignored me. And it went, and it went straight for Dean. Went straight for him. Verbally abused him and attacked him and I sat there and I thought, wow, I've got your number. I knew it all the time. It just confirmed to me what I'd been seeing all that time. And David and that person were like that. Prior to me leaving. When I left, it was broken. Was that right?
Yeah.
He hadn't done anything wrong, by the way. He hadn't said a word because I was there. But you see, that spirit don't care. It's gonna destroy, it's gonna control, and if you're gonna stand in the way of it, it will bring you down.
Yeah.
Or endeavour to bring you down. And that's why we have to know. We have to recognize these things. That's why I'm saying spiritual eyes need to be opened.
Yeah. Need a strong body.
So that we see through the Spirit and say, right, okay, watch that one. We need to pray into that circumstance, that situation. So pray. Good prayer. Lord, open my spiritual eyes that I might see what is going on in the spiritual realm. Because actually there are good things going on in the spiritual realm, by the way. You know, I didn't want to bring it, I sort of seem to have brought a negative in one sense, but that was not the point. The point is that beyond, like Elisha said, open his spiritual eyes, there's those that are for us are greater than those that are coming against us. They might, but the problem is that, you know, when it gets in your face, it appears to be bigger than what God has got, because you know you need to just say, hang on, but I'll just back away from that a minute. Let God in.
Yeah.
Let God into the situation, the circumstance, and let God do His work in our lives, and let God have the victory, time and time and time again. You see, we're empowered for victory. We set for victory. That's what we set for.
Yes.
We are not set for defeat. God never sets you up and me up for a defeat. He sets us up for a victory. That's what it's all about. You see, God is not into failure, He's into success.
Amen.
You see, Jesus dying on the cross looked like a failure to man, but yet when He rose again, it's victory.
Woo!
You see, people start to pass judgment before the story's ended.
Yeah. Wait for God.
Yeah.
He's dead. You know, the disciples, I'm going back fishing, He's dead, that's it, it's all over, it's done, isn't it? There's nothing left for us. He said, "Third day,
woo!
Third day."
Amen.
Yeah.
We're living, believe it or not, in the third day.
We are indeed.
We're living in the third day.
Yeah.
If you want, if we go right back to the beginning of the Bible, we're living now in the seventh day.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It's
ours.
It's
come on, let's go for it. I'll do some more teaching on that later. Yeah, we're living it. That's right.
Third
day is living in His presence.
Yes.
Wow, we're a long way.
You see, we sing that song. For me to live is Christ; to die is gain. Paul says that, don't he? For me to live is Christ; to die is gain. You see, what's going to happen for each and every one of us is that. When the world says, oh, they've died. No, we haven't. We've just left this suit because I am now eternal. Sorry about that. You know, I get it right. I'm eternal. Are you eternal?
I am.
Amen. You see, because Christ is in us, we're born again of the Spirit of God. We are now eternal. Eternally in His presence. And so all that we're going to do is change what we're wearing, for want of an easier word, and try this new body that the Lord Jesus is wearing, that can go through walls, that can still eat, and still has authority. Wow. Is that what, you know, that's, this body that Jesus has got is the same body that you're going to have.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be incorruptible.
Yeah.
You know, this might have a few aches and pains, and you might be rubbing some new, you know, what is it? Neuralgia and ibuprofen and whatever else you might be rubbing on in different places. Glory to God. Lord, give me that new body. You know, my knees have been a bit, you know, these last few weeks in particular. I'm thinking, Lord, oh, you know, come on.
Amen.
Yes. I'm going to be bold enough to say I believe that those days, the days of living in His presence and seeing supernatural things happening. And remember, the children of Israel left Egypt, and it says not one of them was sick.
That's right.
Whoa, how can that be? I mean, they suffered. When you think about it, they were slaves and they were made to do things under sufferings and had beatings and whippings. And it says none of them left sick. Is that right, Nick?
Yeah.
You've been to Bible college, I am. None of them were left sick. Now, if that's Old Testament covenant relationship, what's today going to offer us under a new covenant, a new relationship with the Lord Jesus?
Yes. Yes.
Can't process it yet. I'm still working on it. Right? So if they can leave Egypt, as who were slaves and actually were living in poverty, and yet come out as millionaires, because God was moving on their behalf. And no matter how big an army Pharaoh had, and bear in mind he had the biggest army, he was the one who was then controlling the known parts of the world, no matter how big his army was, it was not able to anything against God.
No.
Because when God just blew, and He parted the waves, and the children of Israel walked on dry ground, passed over to the other side, and then God said, I want my breath back. And the waters came in and covered the chariots and the horses and the men of Egypt.
Yeah.
These were the elite fighting force. Yeah. And they were destroyed by the breath of God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Praise God.
What power.
Praise God.
I'm trying to get you guys to really click on, you know, this is the God that you worship. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is what it's about. That, you know, when we're not losers looking for a way out.
No, we're not.
We're winners looking for the victory.
Woo!
Yeah. We're winners looking for the victory. You know, we're looking for the rostrum to stand on and, you know, stand on the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Crush him. Bruise his head, grind him into the ground. That's what we're here to do. Take the victory. You know, this area needs a body of believers that are flowing and listening to the Spirit of God, and that when you meet somebody, you look at them and say, oh, I've got a word for you from God.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them some of their life story and history. I know. How did you know that? Because God just told me.
Yeah.
God just told me.
Yes,
now somebody said, can that happen? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have I, I've known it happening with me.
Yeah.
And just telling people this, this and this, and you know, and they're like, whoa, why did you know that? Spirit of God whispers into your spirit.
Yeah.
What is happening? What God is saying in the throne room.
Whoa.
You see, we have a direct line to the throne room of God.
Yeah.
No engaged tone. Oh, there's never an engaged tone. Never an engaged tone. Direct line. Always. Hallelujah. Are we going to do this armor of God or what?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. Not some of it. Not what you feel you might like to just hold. Well, I'll just hold my sword, you know. Sword will be fine. No, it says, take up the full armor of God. That you may be able to quench, resist in the evil day.
Yeah.
And having done everything, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. You're not moved by what you see.
No.
But you are moved by the word of God.
Yeah.
That's what we've to come to.
Amen.
We're to be standing
yes.
on the word of God. This is what God's word says. This is what God's word means.
Yeah.
And I'm standing on that promise. The promises in this book are ours.
Yeah.
I mean, I know folks say, oh, well, that was for Israel. Well, I'm the spiritual Israel.
Yeah.
I'm the spiritual Israel. You know, Jesus came and gave his life for all of humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to tell you, but Abraham weren't a Jew.
No, he wasn't.
So don't tell them, though, because they get upset. It's true, isn't it, though? You know, I mean, I just love it when, you know. No, I better not go down that one. Better not go down that one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where were we? Take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. Oh, hallelujah. Where does truth come from? God is truth. It comes from his word. So we need this word to be in us. But you see, the belt of truth, this sort of soldier's armoury is based on what Paul was seeing with the Roman armouries. And the belt that he calls the belt of truth, everything was connected to that. The sword was fastened to it. The breastplate of righteousness that he talks about, that's connected. Everything's connected, you see. They have to be connected. And this is why when people say, oh, I'm just doing my own thing, you know, and I'm just floating. No, you're not. You have to be in a body.
Yeah.
And I'll show you some of the reason in here in a minute. So the belt of truth around us, so that everything then can hang on to it. So then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. You know, in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, it talks about being clothed with a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Look at the person next to you and tell them, you're clothed with a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're clothed with a robe of righteousness. Now you see, these three, well, let's just read verse 15. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, right? These three, when the soldiers were in battle, or being prepared for battle on the battleground, these three things, they never took them off.
No.
Never took them off. They were always ready. The belt of truth. The breastplate. Righteousness. The gospel of peace. The shoes. they were always on ready. So if there was a sudden call, an attack of the enemy, they had the essential equipment that protected them, that gave them the ability to move.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And so there they, these things are important. Victory is ours. It belongs to the believer. Victory is ours.
Amen.
Believe it.
Yeah.
You've got to keep telling yourself, the victory's mine. The devil can come and lie to you. He can try and turn your emotions around. You know what I mean? We know today people are depressed. People are thinking about committing suicide. The suicide levels are up on that. People are losing hope. Victory's ours.
Amen.
There is hope in Christ
Amen.
Jesus.
Always.
He's the way, the truth and the life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without him, there is no hope.
Yes.
That's true. The world's right in saying at times there's no hope. They're right.
Yes.
Because what they're looking at is dying. It has no ability to sustain itself.
No.
But when Christ comes in,
woo-wee.
He's our sustainer. He's my sustainer.
Yes.
What's kept me going all these years? Christ.
Yeah.
The hope of glory.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
I mean, we've led a church for years. We've had our highs. We've had our lows. We've had our highs. We've had our lows. And I'll tell you what, there's been days when I've said, forget it. I'll just, me and her will just do it together. On our own. That's emotions.
Mm. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was going to be having a pity party,
yeah.
But I weren't inviting nobody to join me, right? Don't come to my pity party. You're not invited. It's all for me, all on my own, you know.
I don't want to be
encouraged. It's right. It's true. We do, don't we? But we know, it's like God gave us a promise.
Yeah.
God gave us prophecies.
Yeah.
Come on, okay. Clear my mind of the garbage. Press the delete button.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
Put it in the trash.
Oh,
and then empty the trash bin because otherwise you can reload it back on.
Mm.
You know that. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And we've had to go through some deletes and emptying the trash bins.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
I mean, we had it even in the youth work. You know, I mean, youth work's like this, isn't it? You know, it goes like this, youth work. One minute they're all going for it. Next week you're going, they're like, oh my Lord, what's happened to this lot?
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, you know, I'm working hard 24/7 sort of thing. Why should I bother? It's like, no. Come on. And we see it through.
Mm-hmm.
Pressing in. You know, one of the things I've been praying, Lord, send me men like David's mighty men. That's what we need today. And not just men. You know, please, ladies, don't get offended when I say men, because there's no male or female in God.
That's right.
You know, all this about, you know, equality and that, it's all in God.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there.
It is. Absolutely.
Because there's no male nor female in God. Hallelujah. But what there is there are ministry giftings in God that need to be resurrected, need to be stirred up, need to be life breathed into it again, afresh and anew. And as that is breathed in, then the Spirit moves and we see things happening for the glory of God. You know, we need to stand firm against the poisons of the devil that are being fed out into the world.
Yeah.
Particularly on the TV. I mean, Tracy's not here today, but, you know, when she was admitted to hospital during lockdown, and it was partly through listening to all the garbage on TV, the first thing the nurse did was take a mobile phone off her.
Yeah.
And she said to her, give me your phone. Took remote off her from TV as well, and said, you're not watching that, you're not looking on your phone. Says, that's the problem. The negativity that is being fed.
Yeah.
Negativity, yeah. negativity. And if you hang around with negative people, you will become negative.
That's right.
It's true. If you hang around with positive people, and people who are going for God, then you'll start to get like them.
Amen.
Ooh, you better be careful who you hang around with. You might just happen to get a little bit like me.
Oh,
hallelujah. Yeah. Might start jumping and leaping and praising God, and you might even lift your hands and you might shout, and glory to Jesus.
Might get excited.
Oh, praise his wonderful name. The breastplate of righteousness, it's protecting the heart, the vital organs of the body, right? In other words, it's the righteousness is protecting us that we stay true to God.
Amen.
We're staying true to God because not our physical heart, but that supernatural heart that is beating to the heartbeat of heaven is connected to God all the time. And it's receiving from God.
Yeah.
And so we need to protect that, you see. And it's important that we do that. The belt of truth, as I said, everything is connected and is held together by that belt of truth. The shoes shod with the gospel of peace. We're bringing the message of the gospel, the peace of God that passes all understanding. We're bringing the message that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know, if your mind's troubled, well, you need more of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, when people come to me and they and we've had many people over the years come with so many problems. And I've got one answer. It's simple, you know. It's not complicated, you know. Don't have to be a psychiatrist, trick cyclist or whatever philosopher. It's just Jesus.
Amen.
It's just Jesus. Oh, it's too easy. Well, what do you want me to do? Go and climb Mount Everest and then come back and everything will be fine. Yeah, you'll probably die up there, so it will be fine then, won't it? No, it's simple. It's just Jesus. Just Jesus. Wow, what an answer. Too easy. People want it. It's got to be challenging. Well, I tell you what, walking the Christian life is challenging when you decide to get connected with God. You know? It's not rosy. Well, it could be rosy in one sense, but have you ever fallen into a bed of roses? I took our roses out. Every time I used to go down the lawn cutting the grass, these roses used to rag my legs. They'd got these great big thorns on them, and I'd had enough one day. I said, that's it, I'm having them out. Got rid of them. So when people said to me, oh, the Christian life's just like a bed of roses, well, you never fell into my roses, did you? Because you wouldn't have got out without a scratch, I'll tell you. They were awful, weren't they? There were massive thorns on them for some reason. And when people... But I tell you what, when you smell the fragrance of heaven... Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, the lily of the valley.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's the bright and morning star.
Yeah,
the rose of Sharon. Yeah. Hallelujah. Fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You know, this is Jesus. This is our Lord and Saviour. And this is the walk of the Christian life. It's a walk of victory. It's a walk of triumph.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're on the winning side.
We are.
Praise his wonderful name. We might be on a battlefield. Yeah, exactly. The battle's won. Let me stop preaching.
I'm excited.
We're on a battlefield, but the battle's won. It's probably a little bit like, do you remember when young David went out and he picked up 5 stones? Yeah? And Goliath stood there.
He knew we were.
3 times bigger than David. David's got a little pebble in a sling. And he's just doing this. You know, just spinning it around a bit. And Goliath stood there laughing at him. Yelling and cursing and abusing David's God. And David just like... you know. And David let him have it. Yeah. Up it went. Bang! And all 10 foot of him came tumbling down. Down he went.
Amen.
David took his sword off him and chopped his head off and said, that's enough of him. And then everybody went, whoa! And went running forward, didn't they? And chased off the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
See, because the battle's won. The battle's won.
You see?
But you see, the devil will try and convince you that, you know, you're not going to win this one.
We've won it. It's already won.
You're going to be defeated in this
no
one.
No way.
No. Not a chance.
No way.
I read the end of the book. We win. We win.
If we don't
win,
yes.
We win. You see, the devil's a liar.
Yeah.
He couldn't tell you a straight story if he tried.
He's the father of
lies. Yeah, he's the father of lies. So we don't listen to him. We just dismiss it. Don't let the media start scaring you.
No. Don't listen to him.
Let God, you know, and what you're seeing around you. Lord, open the spiritual eyes.
Amen.
Let me see beyond what's happening. Let me see who you are in Christ.
Yes.
That's what you need to be. You know, Gideon, the angel saw who he was. Thou mighty man of valor.
He couldn't win until he knew who
he was. No, that's right. You've got to know who you are.
God convinced him before he went into battle who he was. And then he won.
I'll just sit down for a few minutes and have a rest while she carries on and preaches, you know. Glory to God. If I run out of it, you know, Grace will carry on and preach, you know, so that's glory to Jesus. But it's true though, yeah, I mean,
we need to know now.
Yeah.
We've won.
That's right. You need to know that with one, you need to know who you are.
Yeah, before
in Christ Jesus. Because you're going to battle then on a high. You're going to battle knowing that you've won the victory. You're going to battle victorious. Going to the battle as a more than a conqueror. That's what it says we are.
Yes.
And so we're moving in that realm of conquerors.
Amen.
We're not trying to be a conqueror.
We are.
We already are conquerors.
Oh,
I'm more than a conqueror. We conquer conquerors.
We do. Oh, man.
I'll tell you what, just hang on, lads.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Lord. Appreciate that, Lord. Thanks. I don't know, you're not doing so bad. Hallelujah. I don't know why I bother with notes, do you?
No,
I don't know. It just helps now and again, doesn't it? You know. Praise his wonderful name. You see, what we find that when we're on the battlefield, if you're not careful, if you're listening to the wrong things, you'll hear distress signals. You'll hear disarray in the camp if you're not careful. You'll hear discontent.
Yeah.
Fear.
Fears.
Yeah.
Destructions. Everything trying to exalt its throne above the Most High God.
Yeah.
Right? And we need to listen to the Spirit. We need to listen to the Word of God.
Yes.
Right? Don't listen to the defeats, the destructions, the lies of the devil. We need to be listening to what God is saying. Because God is above all these things. God is seated high above.
Yeah.
In victory.
Yeah.
Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is sent to equip us with power.
Yes.
Glory to God. Prayer and authority, yes, amen. To bring down the powers of darkness. And verses 16 and 17 in Ephesians 6. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one.
Yeah. Now,
you will be able to extinguish all.
Yeah.
Not some, not a few, but all the flaming missiles of the evil one.
Yeah.
You know, the Roman soldiers invented the first armor-plated vehicle.
Yeah.
It had legs.
Yeah.
But instead of wheels. But what happened if the soldiers went into a battle and got into a difficult situation, they would all come together.
Yeah.
They would put their shields and they would lock shields in front and at the sides, and then those in the middle would put the shields above, and so they would be totally protected, so they could actually go and smash down gates.
Yeah.
They could throw stones at them, drop, because that's what they used to do to try and stop them getting, and they'd just stand there, their shields were up, their shields were protected, so that no arrows could and spears could come in from the side, and so they were an armoured vehicle. Shield of faith. And you know, together, when we are praying for people in the church, when people are sick, when we are praying for circumstances and needs, we need to bring our shield of faith together.
Amen.
And that's why sometimes you might see me get irritated with people and say, for goodness sake, shut up, clear out. Sometimes I've said to Paul, if you want to talk, get in the back room out of the way, we're praying.
Yeah.
We're doing warfare.
Yeah.
We're dealing with people's eternity.
Yeah.
We're dealing with people's circumstances now also.
Yeah.
You know? Wouldn't it be great to see Caesar open out that wheelchair?
Amen.
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 Yeah. You see, you know, folks are saying, well, you know, it's conditioned. I don't take that on board.
No way.
Not at all.
God is a miracle-working God.
That's right, absolutely.
Mm. But you see, our faith needs to arise and let our enemies be scattered.
Absolutely scattered.
And so our faith needs to come together. Our faith, I often say, faith is a bit like a muscle. You know, God gives us the measure of faith.
Mm.
That means the measure of faith. You see, some of you might think, well, Andrew and Grace have got more faith than me.
No.
No. You see, when a child is born, little Joshua, for instance, has as many muscles as Mick does. But Mick can lift more than Joshua.
Yeah.
How can that be?
His muscles being exercised.
That's it. He's exercised his muscles. Joshua has yet to exercise his muscles. And faith, I often liken faith to being like muscles.
Mm.
And as we exercise our faith,
we
become stronger.
Yeah.
And we can move things.
Yeah.
And we can do greater things than we could when we were a little baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
See, it's simple, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
You know, I don't do complicated things.
Mm.
Simple. And the more we exercise our faith, the greater it will achieve as we push forward. And we're not pushing the boundaries of God, we're pushing our boundaries.
Right,
we're pushing our fears away.
Yeah.
We're pushing them and we're breaking through
the
so that we get the victory.
Yeah.
And so we need to do that. And as we do that, we see God moving in power.
Amen.
See, God wants to move through each and every one of you.
He does.
You know, we went to Romania, and it was like, I want everybody that went on that trip to Romania, I said, we're going to teach you, we're going to assist you and help you and train you, so that when we go to Romania, you can start praying for people and seeing people healed, because they're great needs. And that's what happened. Is that right?
Yeah.
He went with us. Ian, sorry. And you know, that's what happened. We saw the Spirit of God moving. We saw the Holy Spirit moving and flowing in power. Amazing. And it all goes to God.
Yeah.
It's all about Him, you see. All that we were just like channels.
Yeah.
You know, we just plug in with a cable. We plug in one end and plug the other end into somebody else and just let God flow through.
Amen.
Touching lives. Changing lives for His praise and for His glory. Hallelujah. Take the helmet of salvation.
Glory.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that we can say that we're saved. Thank God that the Lord has saved us, forgiven us, set us free from all condemnation.
Yeah.
He says, you know, the helmet of salvation, put it on. Protect your thinking.
That's it.
You know, because how many of you have been told over the years at some stage in your life, usually when it's night time, you're not really saved. The things that you've said, the things that you've done, how can you really be saved? Eh? Ever had that?
Yeah.
Why should God save you? Why do you deserve it? Yeah?
We didn't.
That's right. We didn't deserve it.
No. Grace of God.
It's just God's grace and mercy. He just multiplied it to us.
Wow.
Hallelujah. And so that helmet of salvation, you know, we need to protect our thinking.
Yeah.
You know, Romans 12 talks about the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
Change your stinking thinking.
Yeah.
You know, get it changed.
No.
Don't listen to the devil saying that you're a waste of space. Don't listen to the devil that you've always been a failure, therefore you'll always be a failure. Don't listen to those things,
no.
Because those are lies. Those are things that will imprison you from moving forward in God.
The will is what God says that
matters. You might have been like that before you knew Christ, but now you know Christ. I'm a new creation.
Amen.
I'm a brand new man. Things are different now. Glory to God. Yeah,
amen.
Filled with the Spirit of God, then I am going to move forward in the strength of the Spirit,
yeah.
You see. And I'm going to give Him all praise and all glory.
Amen.
Wonderful Jesus. And then it says we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, they overlap, we know that. You see, when Jesus went into the wilderness and the devil came, and tempted him. What did Jesus do? Jesus did not come up with some wonderful theory and doxology, etc., of how this and how that. He just said, it is written. Hallelujah. You see, when you say, well, this is what God wrote. This is what God said. That's it. You see, the devil does not have a higher authority than God. You know, he's got to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. He's got to bow the knee to God Almighty. You know, and that's what I say, when little demon spirits, when spirits of Jezebel and Ahab and whatever others come along, bow the knee.
Yeah, it is written.
Bow the knee. It is written. Jesus is Lord. Surrender to Him.
Amen.
And that's what we're to do. We're to cause that to happen. And as we do that, we see the Word of God moving in power. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. The sword of the Spirit. So we're ready for battle. The Word of God, we're ready for battle. And you know, we're at that point then where we can begin to launch our weaponry. We can begin to launch prayer rockets against the devil's darkness. We can, you know, sometimes you might have a situation where you say, you know, it just like feels like heaven's like brass. You know, there's this, and it's not, I'm not getting through. Daniel felt like that. And he continued to pray. But when the angel arrived, he says, from the very day that you prayed, it was heard in heaven. And God released the answer.
Yeah.
There might be a battle going on in the heavenlies. And we need to do battle in the heavenlies. We need to launch. What do we need to launch? We need to launch prayer into the spiritual heavenlies.
Yeah.
Where demons reside.
Mm-hmm.
And we begin to bring confusion.
Yeah.
You see?
Absolutely.
Satan's kingdom is built on hatred.
Yeah.
It's a divisive spirit. God's kingdom is built on love. Which says, when Shirley does something wrong, I forgive her.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And when I do something wrong, Shirley has to forgive me.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah. Whereas you see, the kingdom of darkness says, if Shirley does something wrong, really, right, we'll soon sort of, you know, and vice versa. Been there, done that, had the t-shirt, now we've thrown it away, haven't we?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got new garments, yeah. Garments of righteousness, you see.
Put on your garments of praise.
And so you see, that's what we do, we launch the weaponry, we pray the word of God. Some of the psalms are fantastic to pray. Some of the psalms are fantastic things. The songs that we've been singing today, in particular, weapons of warfare.
Amen.
You know, when we start saying, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, you know, we begin to worship God. Yeah, your faith rises, something happens within you, and you're like, you know, you think, whoa, I've got goosebumps, you know, what is it, you know? There's something happening within you. There's a stirring in your spirit.
Amen.
And the church needs to be stirred. It don't need you, you know, there's a lot of this going off, you know, and all that. Flashing lights and smoke machines.
Emotion.
I don't know if they're trying to copy Revelation, where it says from the throne room of God there's flashing, flashes of lights and smoke, and that, you know, whether they're trying to get a sort of an illusion that we're nearly there, we're in a heavenly situation, or I've no idea. But you see, I don't want that.
No way.
I need to be in a place, and this body of believers needs to be in a place where we can hear the still small voice as well,
yeah.
Of the Spirit.
Yes.
You see. I've been in some churches where it's been that loud we've had to put earplugs in. I've been in some churches where the bass guitar is that loud my chest was vibrating. And I'm like, if God wants to speak, he's going to have to go down to the power supply and flick the switch. Then it's going to have to be knocked out because they're not going to hear him. Because there's too much. And you know, you go shopping. What's the first thing you notice when you go shopping?
Music.
When you go to a restaurant for something to eat, what's the first thing you hear? Music. I have been in restaurants and I've had to say to the staff, yes, exactly. Can you turn the music down? Because we've actually come to have a meal and to sit and to talk to one another. Yeah. Instead of saying, how are you, Charles, over there? You know, did you? You know, everybody can hear your conversation.
Yeah. You can't, because music's too
much. Well, probably not, Well, I don't want to get hoarse by going out, you see. And I remember one time we were in one place in Birmingham somewhere, and there was a group of us. I asked this guy, I said, there was about a dozen of us. Can you turn the music down? Because we want to chat. I said, it's just too loud for us to have a conversation. Yeah, I'll sort it. I asked him three times. On the third time, I said to him, if it's not turned down in the next 5 minutes, we're walking out, and the food hasn't arrived. You know, it must have been just about cooked. I said, we're leaving. I said, I'm not paying the bill. It went down. Yeah. They were looking for the key, they said, to find where to turn. Yeah. Well, I played his key all right. The key was, I'm leaving and not paying.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose the business. You see, I'm a customer. Customer's always right.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's too loud when I walk in, I'll ask him, can you please turn the music down? Don't sit me underneath the speaker.
No.
Oh, by the way, don't sit me under the air conditioning that's blowing out, by the way. You know, forget that. But you see, the world is constantly bombarding you. You walk into a shop and there's this music, and you're looking for something. You say, I can't think. I mean, you do like that when you go shopping. You don't go shopping, do you?
No, I think
you should. Do you?
No, you
can't help me.
You don't
spend
any
money. But you know what I'm saying, don't you? You know, you go out and it's there. It's constantly at you. And
I,
you know, you just walk in and you think, oh, There's times I've walked out of a shop, I've gone straight in, and it's that loud I've walked out. I thought, forget it, I'm not stopping in there. And say, are you alright, sir? Yeah, I just can't, I can't think with that noise in here, you know, and I walk out. I'm like, what do you mean? Because they go deaf to it.
Yeah.
Your senses shut down. Right? I know that from industry. You know, we had a furnace that used to have this high-pitched whistle. And as long as it whistled, everything was working fine. Then, you know, after about an hour and a half or so, your brain switches off. You're not listening to it. But the moment it went down and the fuses failed on it, oh, we're flat panic. You know, we've got a load of metal. We need to get it out quick. We're in a mess because we couldn't get fuses back in fast enough. But you see, you'd switched it off. You weren't listening to it. And the today, the sounds that are going on can switch you off spiritually.
It can.
Because you're shutting things down. The clamour of things around us tries to shut us down. We need to hear the still small voice.
Amen.
And particularly in church,
amen,
we need to be able to hear God speaking.
Amen.
You see? Even in our worship, we try to give that little bit of space for the Spirit of God to begin to speak and to move through us.
Yeah.
To give opportunity.
Yeah.
You know? We don't want to do performances.
No, that's really not for me.
We want to be led by the Spirit. We want the Spirit to flow through us as individuals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that is such a thrilling experience.
Mm.
When God moves through you. When God uses you to touch somebody's life and to heal somebody, to bring somebody to Christ. What an experience. What an experience. The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. Working in power and strength. You know, stand firm. Three times Paul says it. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on the armour of God. Stand firm. And when you've done all of that, the next thing you do, stand. He don't say go running here, there and everywhere. He says, just stand. Stand. And see the salvation of your God. That's what it's about.
Thank you, Lord.
You just stand there.
Yeah.
Arrayed. Ready for battle. And God says, watch me.
Amen.
And then God moves and we just follow.
Yeah.
And we follow the lead of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's what we're here to do. Hallelujah. And when we follow the lead of the Spirit, we shall see signs, wonders and miracles, people being saved, the church growing and God at work in our lives.
Yeah.
Changing us, forming us, shaping us, moulding us, and you will be so excited.
Yeah.
With the joy and the power of God working in you.
Amen.
You know, it's a case of, Lord, let your kingdom come.
Amen.
Let your will be done. Amen. In my life.
Yeah.
You see, the kingdom has to come into me.
Yeah.
The kingdom has to come into you.
Yeah.
And let it be done. What God wants to do. You know, some of us are going to have to surrender more to Him. You know, forgive, love, let God flow through you. And you know, we'll start learning to target our prayer life onto things that we can see the victory.
Yeah.
We'll bring down things that come against us. You know, start with some of the small things. You know, people often say, I'm going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'd better not do that one neither. Because as far as I can see from the Old Testament, it says them two brothers are always going to be at loggerheads. So there's a contradiction in there somehow. Yeah, he needs some peace. But I don't think it's coming the way they think. there's a new Jerusalem coming.
Yeah,
glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to just be praying things and say, Lord, this thing needs to change. It might be something in your life. It might be something that's near to you. And say, right, I'm going to pray for that. And you start to begin to target it and pray for it and pray through it. And bring the word of God against whatever it might be. And you'll see the victory. And faith begins to rise. See, faith isn't about saying, oh, there's a great big wide river there, I'll leap across it. Faith is about God saying, I've just taken a slab from away from there. I want you to step out in faith. What? Just reminding me of that one. Indiana Jones. Is it Temple of Doom? That's right. He gets through all these challenges, and they're using the Word of God, by the way, weren't they? Every challenge was related back to the Bible, because it was to do with Knights Templars or something. And then he stands there, and there is this vast cavern in front of him. And what he's looking for is in front of him, but there is no way across. And then he reads something or quotes something from Scripture, and he takes some dust. And he just throws it out. And it reveals a pathway. Because this pathway had merged in through what was underneath. It all blended together. It's a bit like those pictures where, what can you see? Can you see what's in the picture? You know, some people can, some people can't. And there was this pathway there. And it was like, it was to do with taking a step of faith. And he threw this... That's right, it was. Yeah. And he threw the dust out. And it just began to show his pathway. And he literally appeared as if he was stepping into nothing. But as soon as he put his foot into that nothingness, there was something solid. And there was a bridge that allowed him to walk across. But to the natural eye, it was invisible. You see? I know it's a worldly thing that I'm relating to, but what I'm trying to do is that, you know, God through the eyes, you say, come on, take a step. He didn't say take a leap of faith. No. Take a step. And it only might be just, you know, one foot in front of the other.
Peter stood on the water.
Stood on God's word. So you take that step and you think, wow, look at that. And as you journey, the steps get bigger.
Yeah.
Right? But actually, as you're journeying, though they get bigger, because your faith has grown, it doesn't seem to be any bigger. It's just, well, that's right, it's just a walk. And I just keep walking this walk of faith. I'm trusting Jesus all along the way, because he grows more precious to my life each day. And we just walk that walk. You know, some of us have been walking it over 50 years. Won't swap it. Won't swap it. Because it's all about Christ. Him crucified, risen, ascended and glorified. And as we look to him, and as we take on that position of authority that he's given to us, it says in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, it talks about Jesus giving to the church, to his disciples. I better not say church, because that really is a wrong terminology. He's given to his disciples, disciplined followers of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given to his disciples all power and authority in his name. Hallelujah. And that's where we're at. And we need to use it. And we need not to be afraid. And we need to press on and push through. And doing it together, lock the shields of faith together. March together in unity of step and see God breaking the barriers down. See the enemy being pushed back through intake, through Doncaster and South Yorkshire. It's one of the worst attended church areas is South Yorkshire, I believe. Yeah. So. And we are. Yeah, right. Well, good. That means God's going to do some great and mighty things in Doncaster. I've often prayed, Lord, take me to the Hawaii, as a missionary to the, to the Seychelles, as a missionary. I'll go there any time, Lord. No, I said, Doncaster. I'm saying, Lord, this is like a desert. This is like a desert. And the Lord said to me, dig a well. Dig a well. And walk to the ground. And he'll bring the increase. We're well diggers. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the people.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that this word, Lord, will just soak into us all. We pray, Father, this word, Lord, will have such an impact on us. Father, we just pray it will permeate every part of us. And I pray, Father, that faith will arise.
Amen.
And Father, I pray that you would lock us together in love and faith to see the victory coming into its fullness, that we'd stand together, seeing that victory coming towards us.
Amen.
And Lord, we shall declare it and rejoice in it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.